This podcast is a member of the WrestleJoy Podcasting Network. Visit WrestleJoy.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as interviews, show reviews, articles, and more, as we bring out the joy in the wrestling world today.
It's the Sauce Alex Zane.
This is the Babe of the Bayou, Brittany Nicole.
This is Ray Fury here.
This is the Glitch in the System, Jay Walker. And you're listening.
And you are watching.
And you're listening.
And you're listening
to the Bald Monkeys Wrestling Podcast.
To the Bald Monkeys Podcast.
And the Bald Monkeys Podcast.
And to the Bald Monkeys Podcast. Geek, geek.
Sophisticated wrestling podcast discussing the weekly aspects of it all right here on
the Bald Monkeys Wrestling
Podcast. Raisin. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Bald Monkeys Wrestling Podcast. We are back with you with not an interview. We are back with a roundtable discussion with the Bald Monkeys. Christopher's here with you. Captain Chuckles, you're here also. How we doing, Captain?
I'm pretty good. It's a Friday night. Again, another Friday night, and we're not watching SmackDown.
We're here. We're talking wrestling. We're not watching wrestling. We're talking wrestling. And we brought the boss. The boss is here. Steven, what's going on?
Hey, everybody. Doing good. How you guys doing?
Doing really good. Excited to talk about some wrestling. We're going to jump right in this week. And we're actually going to focus, like we've been talking about, we're going to focus on Impact Wrestling. Because it was a big week for Impact. A lot of good wrestling that they showed on the show. And we'll start with the women because there's been a lot of women's matches in Impact lately, and the Knockouts division is not something to pass on. I think right now, and you guys can argue with me and you're gonna lose, but the women's division in Impact has to be the strongest division of women in wrestling right now. I mean, Tasha Steelz comes out, and Tasha Steelz and Kiera Hogan, and I think Chuck, you might have mentioned this to me in the text chat or one of the chats, that they are kind of like the Iconics where they're that heelish kind of tag team, but they're a little, they're grittier.
They're edgier.
There you go. So let's see.
Well, Tasha Steelz, the women's title picture there too is nice. The women's title match they have coming up soon. Well, the Knockouts championship match coming up soon looks good too.
Yeah. So I mean, the whole up top to bottom, I think it's the strongest division. I mean, there's very few weak wrestlers on that roster. So, let's see. Tasha Steelz comes out with Kiera Hogan and gets the big win over – who's she fight? She fight
Nevaeh,
thank you. And with Havoc, which I'm really into. Number one, like they're both, stronger, bigger girls, but they just seem like they have like great characters and they've honed in on what their characters are too.
Yeah, Havoc has done this for a while.
Yeah, they played well off each other.
Are you guys sensing that they're teasing a tag team title for the women in Impact?
I feel like they need to. I think it's the next step. They like to be very progressive with how they especially are with the women in Impact. And they have the women to be able to carry that kind of a division, unlike some other companies that, people pay attention to.
See, and I was going to go the totally opposite way and say, I don't think they should.
Okay.
Like they have enough
point.
But I think they would run into the same problem that WWE has with just throwing people together. Because you have a few that are, that have been together for a little while, but I don't think you have enough, and you get into that same thing that we always hated of just throwing two people together to be a tag team, and then it's just like, they're better as singles wrestlers.
Yes, but at the same time, it takes away from having 15 different women going for the main belt when you can give them something else to do at the same time.
Yeah.
True.
I think it helps get them more time to develop us and build more chemistry, because if they're great as a team, the chemistry's there, they'd be great fighting against each other. Some of the best tag teams, when they split up, it was wonderful. So I think it's a big opportunity they have that could get them a lot of viewers for the women's side of it, because a lot of companies are sleeping on their women's division, and they have a chance to, you know, to do it right, and I feel like they will, because Impact's been – they've been knocking out of the park on a lot of things like they have recently.
It all comes down to the who they put together, how well they work together, and then who else they're going to wrestle against. You know, that's the thing. And are they going to keep it up? Yeah. You know, are they just going to let that's it slide, fine. You know, for weeks at times?
But the funny part is, like, you talk about who they're going to put together. Like, Kylie Rae and Susie are together, yeah, which is kind of like the weirdest, like, couple, like Rosemary.
It's like yin and yang, those two.
Like, but that's every tag team. Every tag team they've built is almost yin and yang. And then you have ones that mesh really well, like Tasha Steelz and Kira Hogan, like Nevaeh and Havoc. Like, there's certain ones that are like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. And then there's these other ones. They're like, that doesn't make sense, but I'm okay with it. I'm good with it. I can deal with that.
Yeah.
But I think
you should give it a chance if it works.
That's the thing. And Chuck, you hit on it. If you're going to do it, you got to give it the time. You got to give it the proper TV time. And you got to give it the proper story. Because if you don't build around it properly and you just kind of touch on it and go away, and sometimes you're going to have a big match and sometimes they're going to be on TV and sometimes they're going to be in a storyline, it's not worth it. It's just not worth doing, and just stick to maybe a mid-card title, because I agree with you, Steven. There's a lot of women, and if all of them are going after the main title, it's going to get kind of muddy.
And it's hard to make a mid-card women's championship.
Yeah.
Unless you do like the women's X division title on Impact, which that could be entertaining.
That might be interesting. I'd be interested. We might have to revisit that, because that's an interesting thought. But I don't know if they have the roster yet to do something like that.
Not to keep it up with the same pace as the men's X division.
Yeah.
But then again, unless they bring in a lot of like Lucha Libre women, it's going to be hard to do that anyway.
And again, like with the same thing with AEW, at least has a second show, but Impact is really only 2 hours.
Yeah.
2 hours once a week. I mean, there's not.
But it's what you do with those 2 hours.
And it I really think it is.
They're packing a lot in.
Yeah. Look at these other shows that have, like, AEW didn't have two shows at the jump. They had that following that allowed them to be able to do that. Impact could blow with, you know, add more stuff to it, and they can have a whole other show. They could do a whole another show on another night of just an hour of women's wrestling with the amount of women they have on there if they do it right.
Hold on, time out. It's 8:55. I just want you to know it's 5 minutes till we get Outlandish with Ziggy Dice on Twitch TV. Just want you to know. I just literally got the notification on my phone. 5 minutes. To the Outlandish time.
5 minutes.
This isn't live. It'll be up tomorrow. So all of you people missed it, but get on Twitch and watch Ziggy Dice. He is the most entertaining man on Twitch. Man, woman, whatever. He is amazing.
He does have an unnecessary rant in the middle of this.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. It deserves it, and Ziggy deserves it. Ziggy, we love you. We are disciples, and we were not paid for this whatsoever.
Maybe he'll wear the Bald Monkeys shirt tonight. Who knows?
We did. I actually sent Ziggy a Bald Monkeys pink extra large T-shirt, and we'll see if Ziggy wears it. He got it today. I got confirmation, so we'll see. Ziggy,
I got a request for a pink one. Also, so I might be placing an order here soon.
Woo! Where can you place those orders, Chuck? How can you get a Bald Monkeys T-shirt?
Well,
please let us know.
You can go to our link tree for the exact details.
Okay, click on that.
Right. You can check the description down at the bottom for that. However, you can go to teespring.com and check us out there, Bald Monkeys. And you can go to, what the heck is the other one?
T-Public. T-Public. Yeah, they're both
T-Public.com. And you can check us out there.
Teas.
Or just, you know, come get us on the Twitter, get us on the Instagram, get us on the Facebook. Talk
we'll
to
get
us.
You.
We'll point you where to go. Or honestly, I might just send you one.
Hey, if you're a 100th YouTube follower or subscriber, you may get a little Bald Monkey pack
care package
in the mail. Some stickers. I got some new cool stickers coming in. They're holographic.
They look
pretty cool. So.
Do they have your new Chuck face on it?
No, they don't. That is face? Only for me. My little cartoon character guy.
Replacing.
You need to get some business cards that whenever you do things, you send them to the people. We can make collector cards.
I gotta do new business cards now since we changed all of our handles to be the Bald Monkeys.
Yes. If you can't find us, that's probably why.
Is Twitter.
Yeah. The Bald Monkeys.
Yeah,
TBM.
Find us there. All right. Anyway, we're way off course.
Yeah.
Back to impact. We got crazy. So speaking of crazy, outlandish, ridiculous, let's talk about Johnny Swinger. I need you guys to explain to me what this character, Johnny Swinger, he also has a fanny pack. So, you know, copyright infringement, outlandish. So Swinger's backstage looking for the third member of the team that could take on Mac. Let's see. It was Mac and the Deaners.
And the Deaners, yeah.
Thank you. And him and Chris Bay need a partner. So it was hilarious that he keeps teasing all these different things like Junior is going to let you go out of your contract 90 days and you get to sit at home and don't have to be paid. So just teasing all these guys that it could be. He even talks to Rick Swann backstage, and I'm going to speed through this. And he talks through everybody you could possibly think of. And you're like, oh, maybe it'll be somebody cool. Maybe it'll be somebody cool. And it's Rohit.
No offense to Rohit, but
I love Rohit, but it's like the
we were looking for a payoff.
That's what I mean. Like the tease was so big, I kind of was disappointed, and I felt bad because Rohit doesn't deserve me to be disappointed. So, one, I got the issue with Johnny Swinger, and I need you guys to explain to me: is this character working?
He reminds me of that cartoon character. What was his name? Johnny Bravo with like the
glasses.
I think so. The sunglasses. I don't know.
Flat
that's
top?
Yeah. That's what I get from him. That's how that's the vibe I'm getting. Listen, you and your stupid ass Eagles shirt can just shut the hell up right now.
Oh, boys.
I'm sorry.
Jimmy's not here. We're gonna
be on my side with this.
He would.
Yeah, I know. He would.
I gotta be civilized. I don't get the Johnny Swinger character. I think he's the R-Truth of Impact. He's there for comedy purposes. He's entertaining, but I don't know that he needs to be in a triple threat match or teaming with Chris Bay. It's a storyline that Chris Bay is obviously using him or finessing him into what he needs. But it's just, it could be somebody else. I feel bad, but I'm not digging it.
It could be. I feel like they need something to do with him. I think they're trying to find his place. I really hope it's not the comedy gimmick like R-Truth. It works for R-Truth now, but it's been, what, 7-8 years of R-Truth getting to this point where it worked?
Swinger's not that good.
No, that's the thing. Is it takes R-Truth was amazing. If you actually watched any of his work before, when he was in the NWA, when he was in Impact and all that, R-Truth, he can work with some of the best out there.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't know if Swinger has all that ability to. And I'm saying he can't at some point, but I think he's still trying to find his place and his footing. And don't force a comedy role on somebody before they're ready for it, because it's not going to work for him.
when he dropped the micro brawler is when I lost interest. If you're gonna throw something at somebody and you're not gonna catch it, I mean, that's just catch the damn micro brawler, man. Just catch it. All right, so let's get to the premiere match, the debut match, I should say, of Deonna Purrazzo. And she comes out and has her first match in Impact against Alicia.
Yeah.
And
Alicia Edwards.
She just dominates her. Like, there's just – it's a squash match. But the way she put on the armbar was not something I've seen before her do. It was almost more UFC-ish, where it was like not – you know how they normally put the armbar on and they're laying like perpendicular, holding the arm down? Mm-hmm. She was kind of like curled around her upper shoulder. So it was interesting. It was like, are they changing the way she's doing her finisher, or did they just botch?
Might be a little bit of both. It might have been changing it and it worked, so they're going to keep – might have been a botch and it worked, so they're going to keep it, or – I don't know.
Here's the better question. Deonna Purrazzo, is she believable as a top wrestler in the women's division of Impact? Chuck, you're shaking your head.
Not yet. The current moment.
What's the problem? What's missing?
The women they have on that roster, not yet.
Fair enough.
Yeah, she needs more time in Impact to cultivate a reputation. And she doesn't have that yet. I mean, taking what she's done with the bigger promotions, she still doesn't have a big track record behind her. So she needs to get names checked off on that list before she can, you know, really be one of the top five women, you know, in that division.
I'm gonna say something and I'm probably gonna get heat for it, but I feel like Deonna Purrazzo needs a manager. And it's not because she's not good on the mic. She just has a certain tone in her voice that when she speaks, if she's not a face, I don't believe her as a heel. So if she's gonna be a heel, I need her to have a manager to speak for her. I don't, again, she can talk. She's good on the mic. There was just, it's this weird tone where it's just not coming off as mean or vicious or heelish, right? She's coming off as kind of just a good guy. And that doesn't work when you're saying bad guy things. So I hate to pour somebody away from a microphone, but she's good. She can wrestle, man, but she just, I mean,
who would you think for a manager?
Johnny Swinger.
Yeah. I was just going to say that.
Honestly, put somebody who maybe you wouldn't think of that can talk. Johnny Swinger could talk, dude. That guy could talk for out. If you gave him all 2 hours and said, Johnny, no one could wrestle tonight, you have to just talk on the mic for 2 hours, he'd figure it out. He could say stuff. It'd be ridiculous, but he could say stuff. Can he be a heel? I don't know, but I'd be more entertained by Johnny Swinger.
They could fill it out together.
Like, think about it. Like, Johnny comes out, and he's playing what he does with Chris Bay, but doing it with Deonna Purrazzo, and Deonna's like, whatever. I'm just going to go wrestle. And goes in the ring and just keeps wrestling, and Swinger just keeps talking and throwing all his like game and stuff. Like, I think it'd be interesting, and Johnny doesn't need to wrestle to be his character. Deonna needs to wrestle. She needs to be in the ring and wrestle. So that's just my opinion of it. But look, is she gonna win the title at Slammiversary?
No.
I don't think so either.
I think it could be a decent match. I think it'll be a really good match. I don't know if it'll be the match of the night. I think the two of them could put something on nicely, but I don't think she'll win.
There's just – Jordynne Grace deserves to hold that title for a little bit, I feel like.
Yeah.
She waited it out. She was a good soldier. She came back. She's a great wrestler. She's strong as hell. I mean, she deserves, I think, a good run with the title.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
maybe
yeah.
you do a DQ or something, or a no finish. I don't know. There's just something there that you could prolong the feud a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you go back and watch some of her independent matches, I mean, man, she has had like some really awesome like triple threat matches with some top female names. I think she also had a triple threat with, I think it was with two guys.
I believe it.
I think with, you know, doing some of the intergender wrestling stuff. I mean, she is no joke. Yeah. She is no joke.
Just another, you know, piece of the women's division and Impact that just proves that they're ready to roll. They're ready to have big matches.
Knockouts division.
I hate that name.
So do I, but it's their thing.
It's better than Divas.
Is it?
When I think so.
I think it's just a different word for it, though, man.
Yeah,
like,
but at least Knockout has a whole other connotation to it.
I feel like they deserve to just be called the women's division.
Yes, I think just like with the Divas division, and I'm surprised Becca hasn't changed it yet, but calling them the Knockouts kind of objectifies them. Which
that's where I'm standing with it. Yeah, that's the whole reason we got rid of Divas. That's all. Now the title, the title looks nice. The title's very
I like the title.
But if you think about it, no other wrestling division in the main wrestling, you know, cards calls anything other than women's wrestling, right? What do they call it? It's women's wrestling in AEW. It's women's wrestling in WWE. It's women's wrestling in NWA. It's women's wrestling on the independent circuit, unless you get into some weird indie stuff. But Impact is the last one. They kind of need to change it.
Yeah.
So, Impact, think about it. We're not saying do it. Just think about it. We know you're listening.
Food for thought.
Food for thought. All right. So then Impact rolls out this old guy. What's his name? Ken Shamrock. I've seen him before. He seems pretty dangerous.
Shamrock. At least he thinks he's pretty big.
I mean, give the guy some credit. He's
He's
an old dude, and he's still going.
I mean, for his age, he looks phenomenal.
Looks great.
He honestly could kick all three of our asses at the same time.
I don't know. If me and Chris distract him and you put him in a chokehold from behind, we can take him down.
That's a game plan. That. Ken Shamrock, you heard it here first. Steven wants to fight you, not me.
Yeah, not me. Come on. Just Steven.
I didn't say
that. I'll go for it. Come on. I'm up for a fight. I will fight dirty. They show on TV they can take you down from behind. All I need is a chair or something.
So what do you think about him going up to the north and talking trash? Well, I'm sorry. The north was talking trash on Ken Shamrock, and he came up behind, and Josh Alexander came to the aid of his partner. And I thought we were going to get that match, and I was kind of pumped. Like, have you guys seen Alexander fight one-on-one on the indie circuit? Like, the guy can wrestle.
Yeah.
I was pretty disappointed that they just jumped him and didn't have the match. Do you think we finally get that match? Do we get a singles match with Josh Alexander?
I think so, but it's going to be some sort of stipulation. There's going to be something to it that I don't know about a 2-on-1.
Why wouldn't but they just set it up for it, don't you think? They just set up for the North versus Ken Shamrock.
But could they also have set it up for like the North against Ken Shamrock and somebody else also?
I don't know. They already did the mystery part. I'm over the mystery partner thing. Just tell me who it is. I'm over the mystery.
Impact has a long history of doing the mystery partners. It's kind of another thing, one of their things they like to do.
But do one mystery, not Slammiversary, someone's coming, and there's a mystery partner here with a triple threat, and we don't know who's going to be the fifth person in the fifth five-man championship match. And
Well, that's a whole other thing in itself.
But that being said, I think the North is quietly one of my favorite tag teams in wrestling right now. I mean, that's you guys know how much I love FTR. Obviously, the Undisputed Era is great, but the North, man, they got characters. They're great on the mic, and they can damn wrestle, man.
Yeah. It's the probably the best duo together since the beginning of Undisputed Era with the way they work together.
Who would you compare the North to? Like, what old school wrestling tag team are they similar to?
With the way they are, I would say like the Hearts.
Dude, I was thinking the same thing.
Heart Foundation.
It's pretty close. I think so. It's Ethan Page isn't quite the muscle man that the Anvil was, obviously. But Josh Alexander, to me, is Bret the Hitman Hart. Like, that dude is a ring technician, the stuff that he does. And I don't know that
maybe
there's
– he doesn't need to be the Anvil. Maybe he could be Owen. Let him be Bret and Owen.
I would love to be Bret and Owen.
See, that's a conversation any team should want to be a part of.
Yeah, that would be a great comparison for anybody to have, right? So what do you think about the tag teams in Impact? Because they've been kind of like up and down right now with what's going on. And it almost seems like the North doesn't even have anybody to fight right now.
The Deaners.
And they don't is the thing. I think there's a lot of instability with their tag division there. And I get it. There's a pandemic going on. It makes things harder. Because even the North couldn't be there for a while. They were just doing the interviews in kind of thing.
But they were having matches against some jobbers or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
I think they need to focus on building that division up, especially what they have their flagship team with the North to carry it. This gives you time to build other little groups and teams up. They could do it the way of the factions. They've done that back in the past with Impact, where they had these factions that made their teams out of it. That could be a great way to restructure everything, but they definitely need to figure out some more strengths other than the North, because at this point, they have nobody who seems like a legitimate threat to the North. Well, unless I'm wrong. Prove me wrong. But I don't see anybody taking anything from them at this point.
I would have argued the Rascals probably about a month ago, but they just seem to be kind of doing a singles thing, you know, with Trey and Wentz kind of leaning towards being more singles wrestlers. So the Rascals made a lot of sense. Chuck mentioned the Deaners. I mean, they're great.
But are they beating the North?
It would have to be a long program. Triple X, you know, is probably the best shot right now. I would say maybe TJP and what's his name? Fala.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, I mean, you even have Reno Scum. Like there's tag teams there, but they're not getting airtime.
They're not at that level. Yeah.
And I don't know if it's because there was so much other stuff going on. Chuck mentioned it. It's only 2 hours.
Yeah.
It's tough. You can't put everybody on TV. So you got an X Division title. You got a women's championship. You got a world championship. You got a TNA championship. Really, not really, whatever. We'll talk about that. You got the tag team championship. I mean, you got 5 titles
that
you got to put in 2 hours.
That's your whole show. Like, your buildup is like sometimes – and sometimes you don't even get to one of the titles – even to build anything up for it, you know. I mean, what did they have? 1, 2. They had what? 5 matches on Tuesday. Yeah. I mean, unless you're throwing out 3 squash matches, which doesn't build up any story really.
Which stinks.
I mean, there's not much else that you can do.
Impact is one of those that would very much so benefit from like a web kind of series, just like Dark was originally. Put it on YouTube. Like, if they say they do, is it Tuesday nights Impact's on?
Yep.
Yeah. Have a web show
Access
on
TV
Thursday
and Twitch.
Nights. Yeah. have a web series, maybe just an hour long, just to plug little bits in.
Just do one match. Just put one extra match. Tape one match and air it on YouTube on Thursdays. Just one match. And then let everybody do vignettes. And just do some vignettes and some promos and package that together. One match and a bunch of promos and just air it for an hour on a Thursday night.
But just with how social media is in itself, they could have promos and stuff like that coming out all week long to set stuff up. And
they do that.
Backstage antics and stuff where they attack people and stuff like that. But they could build off of what they have with the short amount of time if they just did a couple little things here and there. But yeah, a match here or there recorded coming out, dropping different days. It'd be perfect for them.
I think they have a little, it's weird. It's the situation where they have too much talent and too much stories to tell. They need more time. They need more time to do it. And they're doing a good job, but I would like to see more content come out. And hopefully as they figure things out and figure what direction they're going, maybe we'll get more content and maybe we'll get, you know, fans in the crowd too. That'd be nice also. I know. It's exciting stuff. All right. It's time for my favorite wrestler on Impact. Taya Valkyrie with Johnny Bravo against my favorite, Susie. I freaking love Susie.
Are you guys strange addiction to her?
Dude, she is so creepy. I love it.
I think she's more creepy as her alter.
She's more creepy as Susie than Sue Young,
More creepy as Sue Young than Susie.
I disagree.
I think both of them work. I do like Valkyrie though.
I mean, Ty is great.
With or without the problem.
Yeah, Ty is great. Ty has been great since I first saw her wrestle in Lucha Underground. When I first started watching Lucha Underground and Ty was wrestling there. She's a great wrestler. I mean, she's a great character. She plays her character perfectly. She knows what she needs to do in the ring. There's something about Susie and she keeps losing. Like, she hasn't won a match in a while. But I'm still like so into that character. And I'm waiting for...
She's going to crack.
Oh, she's going to snap. And it's going to be so epic. It's going to be so good.
Yeah. What she's got, is it going to be a third personality?
No, it'll be back to Sue Young. Because they had mentioned, I guess, a little bit on Impact that she's harnessing some of Sue Young. Some of the move sets.
Yeah.
Of Sue Young.
They mentioned that once or twice.
So...
I mean, it's also got to be so much easier for her not to have to go through all that makeup.
I don't know. It's just as hard to walk around and just wave to nobody who's there.
I do that all the time.
Does anybody else wave back to her?
I do from the TV.
I always do from the TV.
Christopher even waves back on Twitter. He's like,
oh. I do. I waved. Susie. Oh,
hi.
All right, good match. Again, another women's match on the card.
Yeah,
and another good women's match. Again, they could have an all women's show if they wanted to. All right, let's get to the random mixed tag that we get with Chris Bay, Johnny Swinger, Rohit against the Deaners and our X Division champion Willie Mack, who
he's going down
is awesome. Love Willie Mack. I think he's great.
Yeah, he's got a good body of work building for him.
But can Chris Bay, after getting this pin this week, because he gets the pin, is Chris Bay destined for the X Division Championship?
Yeah. I mean, he puts the work in. He's got the moveset. I think you can let the two of them swap it back and forth a little bit over the next couple months, and I think they could put on some really good programs together. I think he doesn't really have that defining moment with them at this point in – happening at Slammiversary, let them win it and have that moment and build on it.
I just don't want it to be the Chris Bay got the upper hand in one of the big matches right before the pay-per-view, and then at the pay-per-view he loses. I just don't want it to be that.
We got a couple of weeks before the go home show. So we got time to, for Willie to get over on him.
And I think it'll happen. They'll have some back and forths. There could end up being a stipulation to the match by the end of it too. So
what if, so we alluded to something going on with the Slammiversary main event. What if you take Willie Mack and he drops the X Division title, but he then ends up in the main event for the world title? And I could make that same exact argument for Chris Bay and say that Chris Bay does not defeat Willie Mack, but figures out a way to get himself into the main event.
Yeah. And I know earlier today they took any mention of that match off of the website too.
The main event?
Yeah, there's – at least –
they got to restructure it. Yeah. They have to restructure it right now.
So they got, what, three weeks?
You got two slots to fill right now. 18th.
If they keep it as five.
I mean, it's – there's an easy fill-in for this. If you're going to keep it as a five-way, Moose is your number four, and whoever they're teasing that's coming back is your number five. So it's really kind of easy who you fill in right now.
Yeah.
Now, will they do that or will they go a different direction or do they have a different direction planned? Was someone coming back to fight Moose? Is that the one-on-one match that they want to do? I'm not sure.
And who's coming back? Do you have any guesses?
I mean, the teases have been absolutely ridiculous. I mean, it's...
Rusev.
Trouble. If it's not EC3, are you let down?
Yes and no. Because with his last couple online little things, with his control in the narrative, he could be going back to NXT with some of the stuff he's been doing. He's kind of throwing a lot of stuff out there out of nowhere. And at the same thing with going on over there, he could come back and help out Spud and be back in NXT that way with the way they have the cruiserweights over there. I really don't know. If it wasn't for his last couple vignettes, I would say, yeah, he is 100% going back to Impact. But him and Moose had some stuff together back before he left, and he could fit right back in there. He draws. He was very misused in WWE when he got to the main roster. He was a little misused on NXT. But he could draw. He was a big star on Impact before. It makes sense for them to want him back. But will he go back if he gets the option to go back to NXT?
I just don't know who else it could be that I'd be excited about right now.
I just don't like all this uncertainty. Everywhere, like there's so many free agents and guys and girls who were recently let go that are just like hanging out, like wait until this all is over, and it's just like, man, you don't know where.
Could be Bully Ray.
Oh, they the Aces and Eights, right? They tease that with D'Lo.
Mm-hmm. So Bully Ray would make
– it could be again, Bully or it could be Mr. Anderson.
They promised you it was a former world champion. So both it narrows it down a little bit. But it doesn't really narrow it down much at all.
But D'Lo wants to get the band back together. Bully Ray is not really doing nothing other than his podcast right now.
Bully Ray can do whatever he wants, and it works because Bully Ray will forever be really good on the mic and be able to just drop in and do his thing and get over.
He was so mishandled when he returned the WWE. They should have let him run as Bully Ray. Honestly, at this point now, I want it to be Bully Ray. Let him come back.
You talked yourself into Bully Ray.
It would be perfect. But then again, I could see Anderson, too, with how he's been popping up in the NWA a little bit here and there. It's like he's getting his feet wet, getting the ring rust off.
Yeah. I don't know. I hope it's not some – I don't want to start this term, but I hope it's not a Rohit swerve where it's like just something simple, you know, like something like – James Spear? Now? Yes. Before? No. So now
could it be? Could be. Former world champ. I would love to see him back there too.
Did Eli Drake ever win the championship?
Yes, I was just – I'm literally looking at the list of former Impact champions, and he –
the things they can do now is crazy. He's on that list, Chuck, right?
He's on that list. Eric Young is on that list.
That was one – honestly, I wouldn't be super excited, but I'd be like, cool, good for him.
Yeah. I mean,
I still think I wanted to be Bully Ray, but Bully Ray or James Storm.
It's interesting, man.
And then for the older guys, you got Sting is out there.
No,
Kurt.
You got Kurt Angle is out there. You got Mr. Anderson is out there. You know, hey, Rob Van Dam.
Yeah.
Mr. Anderson.
There you go. Well,
actually, it says Kennedy.
I mean,
Rob Van Dam's. Oh, wait, hold on. Rob Van Dam's already there. So Rob Van Dam can't come back if he's already there.
Yeah, but he could be in the match. He is a former champion.
Yeah, but they're teasing a former champion returning.
Has he been on TV that much lately? When was the last time you saw him on TV?
He came He came on TV for a triple threat match, or he was just out with the cancel culture people. It was weird. It made no sense.
So, I mean, but those are the names that what we just ran down. I mean, it's not a lot. So it's one of those. What did we say? Eight guys.
Do they say it's a former world singles champion in their promos, or do they just say it's a former world champion?
Don't do that.
Just saying. You know, too sweet. They could show up. You know, they've been world champions before. Could be them.
No.
Could be Kanellis or Mike Bennett, or whatever he wants to come and be.
Yeah.
Wasn't he a world champion, Chuck? Is he on the list?
Who, Mike Bennett?
Yeah.
I don't think he – yeah, no, he didn't.
Bennett never won the world championship?
I don't think so.
Not Impact, no.
Okay, that's just a shame. That guy deserves a title.
He deserved a lot.
Because
I think he jumped
– Mike Kanellis.
He jumped to New Japan whenever things started getting rocky there.
Man. Well, Impact, you got a lot of opportunity. You can do some cool stuff now. There's some opportunity for pick some people up. I don't think you're going to let us down. You got some time. You got, let's see, it's the 26th today. You got 20 plus days to figure this out. Start now. Get going.
Or at least rule some people out.
Yeah. All right. Final match of the night. This is what I call the throwback copy match, which is Madman Fulton with Ace Austin versus Eddie Edwards. Or if you want to call it Shawn Michaels and Diesel versus any other wrestler, you can call it that as well. Because that is exactly what they're trying to build with Ace Austin and Madman Fulton. And I dig it. It works.
Do you dig it?
I dig it. I like Ace Austin, man. Guy can wrestle. And he could be the next world champion. Oh, Eddie Edwards has always been amazing, but Eddie Edwards has put on some non-wrestling weight or heavyweight weight. I don't know. He used to be like an X Division guy, right? He used to be a much bigger high flyer, and I think he just put on bulk for whatever reason. I don't know the story. I don't know why. I'm not going to assume. But this Eddie Edwards is much more hardcore Eddie Edwards than the past one was when he was like a high flyer.
So, let him be Tommy Dreamer. Come on.
Oh, jeez.
Hardcore, a little extra weight.
He could be. Well, that was our Impact card. I don't know. Is there anything you guys want to touch on in the last match? Basically, Ace Austin, you know, helps Madman Fulton win the match. I mean, that's a no-brainer, right? They're going to continually do that for a while.
Yeah.
Surprise. That was Impact. So another good show. A lot of teases. We talked about the D-Lo tease, the constant swinger teases, obviously the tease of what champion's coming back. I mean, I like that they continually are doing backstage promos, and I like the promos they're doing. It's building all these different layers to stories, and they have long matches. They're not doing short matches. It's a criticism I've had of some other promotions where the matches are really short and then the stories are really good. I think they have a good balance of the stories and the matches and Impact right now.
See, and that's another problem going into only having 2 hours and so much.
Honey, they need to take advantage of social media and YouTube. It'd be great. The whole backstage stuff with Moose was great the other day.
Moose is awesome.
And he's rightfully criticizing him not getting the praise he deserves. So
he's playing that character perfectly, walking around with that belt and just being like, this is my championship. I am the champion. Love it. Pulling people down. Did you see people are walking? Come here. I'm talking to you.
Referencing his past, bringing up other things. Like he's making like a personal touch to him. Perfect. They're doing it great.
I like his Ric Flair robe.
I don't think he walks out of Slammiversary with the belt, but I like him.
Oh, we'll see. We got a couple of weeks to even figure that out. I can't make predictions on Slammiversary right now. There's too much that can happen in 20 days.
Too much turmoil.
Yeah.
We'll have to do a pick show then.
We will be doing a pick show. We'll do a Slammiversary pick show. That'd be fun. Be our first Impact pick show, I think.
Yes, it will be.
Exciting for that. All right. Impact was great. What would you guys like to touch on? We got AEW and we got NXT that had decent weeks. We're going to leave the other thing alone. But we'll talk about AEW or NXT.
Johnny Wrestling and Finn Balor and that North American Championship match. I enjoyed it. I don't know if I agree with the outcome. But I enjoyed it. I felt like it would have been better for Finn to pull it off in the end. But
is there too many triple threat matches for titles or title shots in NXT?
Slowly, yes. But the fact that there was one for a title to set up a double title match, is it going to be a unification match? Or like, what are they doing?
It's not not a unification match. It's going to be winner takes all.
Champ.
Essentially, yeah, champ.
But is it the setup for him? Because obviously you don't see Adam Cole losing the belt like that. You see him being a double champ.
I would be awful pissed off if he lost the belt.
Turn around and see him lose one of the titles in the next couple weeks? Like, is this a way for him to lose the NXT championship but still be a champion? Or is this a way to try to get strong wanting his belt back and it creates a riff in Undisputed Era? Does Undisputed Era come down and end in a no contest in the champ match? Like, what happens? I think Cross has to get involved at some point.
I kind of don't know. You've just layered it in there. I'm like,
the belt and the winner take all match just kind of.
And the other wrinkle that is the real life wrinkle is he's not signed past a couple of months in the future. I think October, maybe I forget exactly when it is, but.
Okay, but do you think he hasn't signed yet? Or do you think they're really close to, 'cause they're going to throw money at him?
Oh yeah, I. Who knows? I mean, who knows? We probably won't hear about it till like the month of or right before it. But I mean, you know, that's a whole other thing because if he's thinking about jetting,
why would he go though?
Take his belt and take it to AEW, and you're gonna have the whole Ric Flair angle.
in what this, like I don't see a world where it makes sense if I'm Adam Cole to leave NXT, period, and that includes Raw,
yeah,
SmackDown, AEW, Impact, New Japan, includes everywhere. I run NXT. The reason NXT is as strong as it is right now is because Adam Cole, baby, is at the top of it. Without Adam Cole there right now, Ciampa has fallen to the wayside. Gargano has kind of gotten stale, even with the heel character. Cross is coming up, so they have Cross now. Yeah. Keith Lee missed the exit on the highway that would have took him to the title. He had it. They had Keith Lee all in.
Oh, at the Rumble.
And they missed it.
At the Rumble? Oh, man.
And they missed
it. Whenever Brock looks at him, Brock's like, who was this? Oh, they had him on that cliff. They just had to shoot it to the moon. And
So to me, if I'm Adam Cole, I go, give me this blank check. I will write down a number that doesn't exist. And at the end of it, it will say, Bay, Bay. And we're done. I will stay in WWE forever. He's got a blank check. Oh, I think
they signed him to a long term after this. Just like it's either you're done with wrestling after this or it's long term. Like Undertaker just backed out, just retired, and he still has 15 years on his contract. AJ said he's not signing another one, but they're going to tie him to something to keep him in line, whether he's gone or not. Just like what they do with like Shawn Michaels and stuff like that. They're not going to let Adam Cole go at this point.
Yeah,
he was already really big when he came there, and they made him bigger. And
there's no way Adam Cole's leaving without getting one match against AJ either. And if AJ is there, Adam Cole's there, and they'll have one match at least.
Okay. Could that be what they're doing, putting the North American Championship on them? So at Survivor Series, you have AJ versus Adam Cole?
At Survivor Series?
That's when they bring them all together.
Yeah, that's when they bring them all together. That's why everybody like lines up with whoever. It'd be a triple threat, though. It'd be United States. So it would be – who's the United States? Apollo Crews?
Yeah.
I mean, I love Apollo Crews, but he doesn't
fit into that. Okay, it doesn't – and you could have it to where AJ's trying to finish unfinished business they had with Undisputed Era. Because remember when they came into the Impact – they came into Impact Zone. Wow.
Impact on our brain. Yeah. We're all Impact.
when the club came to TNA, oh my God, I did it again.
You did it again.
God. Somebody get this man some coffee.
When they came
to someone NXT, get him some Impact Wrestling.
Showdown with Undisputed Era, you never really had that payoff match between the two of them. And maybe it's AJ coming down there for the NXT Championship.
I mean, it could work.
There's so much they could do.
They could do it. But where I started this rant was there's no reason for Cole to go anywhere for reasons like this. There's plenty of storylines that he hasn't done yet that I'm sure he would love doing. There's plenty of people that he hasn't gotten to wrestle yet that everybody wants to see him wrestle. Have we seen him in Roman Reigns? I mean,
I don't want to see that. Yes.
I 100% do.
I think it would be a good match because Roman can prove he can put on a great match. The matches he had with AJ were amazing.
Thank you.
That's
the reason.
I don't think I care to see the two of them fight. I get him and AJ. I got him and Daniel Bryan. I got him and Seth Rollins. I don't care to see him fight Roman Reigns.
They'll make you care. There'll be a story and they'll make you care. Right now, I get it. You really don't care because there's nothing that leads you to believe that makes sense. But they can make
you care to get that match. In order to get that match, you know he's coming up to SmackDown.
As much as I keep saying that he's not going to go up or I don't want him to go up, I also realize that eventually everybody goes up. Even Gargano and Ciampa eventually will go up. They went up.
They did go up.
Yeah, but again, everyone at some point is going to go to the main roster, and they're allowed to do that because it's wrestling. You can do whatever you want. It's a wild card rule. It's, what is it, the weekly visitor's pass, you know, the hall pass, the passport, what else you want to call it, I-95, 7-Eleven, 24/7 European Championship.
You can go anywhere.
Who else would you like to see him face? If he came to the main roster, who else would you line up for him?
See, the thing is, he's faced guys that I want to see him to face again. I want to see him against Aleister Black again because I loved him and Aleister Black going one-on-one. I want to see him again, Andrade again. I'd like to see him and Buddy Murphy. I'd like to see him and Cedric Alexander. You know, I'm much more of the idea of the middle-level guys that I enjoyed watching come up through NXT. But I wouldn't mind seeing him and McIntyre go at it.
God, get the proper – I told you, they need that proper match. He needs it.
I knew I would point that. Point
The build-up for that would have been so good when Adam Cole first came in and then Drew had to get hurt.
Whew.
Mm. That would
be
so
happen. Good. It could still happen. So NXT was – that was a good match. NXT was pretty good.
I'd like to see Adam Cole and Dolph Ziggler. I think they put on a really competitive match together.
Yeah. Dolph and anyone.
And yeah.
That guy's a workhorse. What do you – so what about the Priest?
Damian Priest?
Damian Priest, thank you. He shoots the arrow, Priest.
He does. He's the archer of infamy, right?
Yes. We talked about how over he got himself and how great of a match he had at TakeOver In Your House. What about that? What's it called? The stomp that – what's his name gives? Grimes. So Grimes did the two-footed stomp to him on the outside. And he took another hard bump with that. Like, Priest is turning into the guy that's willing to take some serious bumps.
Like KO?
What does that lead him to? Where are we going with Priest?
Injuries. I think he gets a decent little push. I see him in the North American Championship picture more than I do the main title picture. Keep him in the mid card. Give him another 6-7 months to build his character into something that's worth pushing the main belt towards. But right now, keep letting him do his thing. He's doing good. Even if it's against Lee, I think him and Keith Lee could put on a very hard-hitting match together if they let them do it. The bumps he could take in that match and just But
I 100% agree with Steven there. That's exactly what I was going to say.
I kind of miss Dominik Dijakovic.
I miss his name.
I just wanted to say it. I got to fill my quota and say it on the podcast at least once. All right. I don't want to go into NXT too much further. Do we want to touch on AEW at all, or do we want to get into our new segment?
It was a little under the normal, but it was still – I mean, they deliver. It's consistent.
Are you excited for Orange Cassidy and Chris Jericho?
Honestly, yes. That's really the main – Cody and Swagger, I'm kind of excited for too. I was a little disappointed in the press conference. I figured it to be more it was very MMA and not really wrestling, and I guess that's what they wanted.
Well, it leaned towards Swagger, right? Leaned towards Swagger's
Hager or whatever's
Yeah, I'm sorry. Sorry, Hager.
And they said that they're gonna try to do some more of that kind of stuff where you have the press conferences. Of course, I mean, it was like the worst press conference because they only had two people show up, and both of the people were from the same exact place. So it was like, could we not have like FaceTimed in some more people or had them on the phone or something? I mean, geez, there's nothing going on. You could at least just have them on the phone or something. I mean, good
grief. If that wasn't a spot for Hurricane Helms to be out in the crowd with his little press hat on. I mean,
I love it.
You missed an opportunity there.
He needed the fist to his face. What's up with that? And then just go off the camera.
I mean, perfect. Come on. Missed opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, Dark and Dynamite were both, again, good this week. I know we don't like talking about, you know, viewership numbers and stuff, but I don't understand how NXT beat AEW by 100-some-odd thousand people. I don't get it. Something doesn't sound right. I mean, maybe it's because of other things going on, but I mean, it wasn't NXT's show, in my opinion, wasn't on the same level as AEW's show on Wednesday.
Here's the thing though, and I'll let you go, Steven, in a second, but I take a bigger issue with the fact that we can't break a million freaking viewers for either show on a Wednesday.
Oh, God. And Raw and SmackDown are both breaking. I think SmackDown is over 2 million.
It's asinine that we can't get over a million viewers for either show. Both deserve over a million.
Something's got to be wrong. Number's got to be wrong.
Yeah. Each week we keep saying AEW is good. It's consistent. And NXT's had down weeks and they've had good weeks. Maybe that's just what people are coming to expect out of AEW. And then, oh, I know this is going to happen and it's going to be solid. What's going to happen on NXT? And I might be drawing some more of them away because they know they're going to get the same consistent good out of that, but they want something different. They want to change the pace. And AEW, you still get a lot of the same faces every week. They, for how big their roster is, a lot of their portion is still ex people from other companies that people already know. Brody Lee, Colt Cabana stuff was good, but you know him already. Cage and Taz, you know them already. Jericho, you know Orange Cassidy and Jericho in there is a nice thing. It's giving Orange Cassidy that rub, but you get a lot of their star powers from the same people, and people might just be overseeing that. To where in NXT, the people that are there, you know them from NXT. You don't know them from all these other divisions. So they still have that little bit of you don't know so much about them from other places, where everybody in AEW has that history already that, okay, I've seen this for the last 15 years. Let me see something new.
One thing I didn't think of was the fact that Fighter Fest is night one is coming up next Wednesday. Night two is the Wednesday after. But they're both going to be on TNT.
Yeah.
So you don't have that big buildup of the show before the pay-per-view. So that could be one thing that led to, well, okay, I know who's going to be pretty much fighting or what's going on at Fyter Fest. So, you know, I'm a wrestling fan, of course. I'm going to watch NXT tonight. One thing I don't want to see on NXT is freaking Robert Stone. That guy, I hate you. I hate you, Robert Stone. You and your stupid dress shoes and no socks. I hate that trend. I hate it. Get out of here.
Another thing, too, with it is when they were advertising for AEW this week, it was Jericho and Cassidy come face-to-face, and Hagar and Cody have a press conference. Well, there you go. That's just two big segments that are not going to be matches. Cody's weekly matches, just like with like the U.S. Championship Open when Cena did it, it was bringing people in. Who's it going to be this time? Well, they already told you up front, that's not happening this week. And it was just a lot of build-up matches. You already knew what was going to happen. I don't know about y'all, but I'll go to the bathroom during promos and stuff, and I watch them later on YouTube or on Twitter or wherever I need to watch them at. That's a lot of what AEW was this week. It was that just the promo build for things and trying to restructure different angles because of other things going on. That the next 2 weeks for them being Firefest, if they don't break a million views when it's supposed to be one of their big pay per views, it's ridiculous.
Go watch, I don't think
people. They can break it 2 weeks in a row because each card seems pretty loaded, but night two next, the week after next, isn't as big as this first night is. So there's a lot they can do.
But, I mean, the other thing is with that, I mean, we would love to see – well, now they have a better chance of breaking a million, but their pay-per-view buys for, like, the past couple of, like, pay-per-view events haven't been anywhere near even what they get on Dynamite. So, you know, that's another thing. But, yeah, if Fyter Fest – between the two nights combined, don't get close to 2.25-2.5 million views. I mean, it's a shame. It's an absolute shame.
Let let's be honest. Wrestling is not at a high point right now. It is not on everybody's mind. There, you don't have casual fans tuning into wrestling. Casual fans are doing everything else but watching wrestling. Anything else to keep their time up right now. So it's important right now that wrestling just powers through this downtime and it'll turn back up again. But I just, it's a shame. I agree with everybody on this podcast. There should be bigger numbers. I just don't expect them because it's us yelling at us to watch wrestling.
And I think with your statement there, you hit it on the head. It's not the casual fans. That's why you see, especially with NXT, where WWE is doing those throwback, like in your house and stuff like that. That's cool. And bringing that up, and in case you guys didn't realize when Halloween falls this year,
I heard
Halloween Havoc, NXT, I would lose my shit. I loved Halloween Havoc. I always did. And
well, whew, they're doing Great American Bash. You know that, right?
Yeah, they're doing the Great American Bash.
Two nights.
Going up against Halloween Havoc.
Going against, up against Fighter Fest, they're doing a Great American Bash.
Yeah, that's...
That's dirty. Triple H does it dirty.
I mean, they don't call him the barrier for nothing.
It's a business, man. Like
it's that rating shovel he's got getting ready.
The amount of time that we argue how dirty it was or how terrible it is that they're doing that, it's a business. You know, Coca-Cola is going to try to outsell Pepsi. You know, Burger King is going to try to outsell McDonald's. They're,
as long as they don't come out there and announce what's happening on the other show, like, you know, Eric Bischoff mentioning Mankind wins the belt.
That did not work for Eric. It won't work for anybody else.
No. So I think the next 2 weeks we should have a lot of great wrestling.
Agreed.
I think it's going to be a little wasted being Wednesday nights, unfortunately, just because it's clearly being shown it's not a strong draw night for wrestling. If they had it on, even if it was Thursday nights, I think their numbers would be so much better. Don't see that in moving it. They're comfortable in their slots.
I don't know, man. It'd be really interesting if AEW made a slide over to a Friday night.
You want to see them go up against SmackDown on Friday?
You don't think they might pull some of the SmackDown numbers?
They pull some of them, but with the McMahon money when it comes to WWE, the stuff they could do if they try to put it up against one of their main two shows.
I don't know, man. It's just people are craving new content right now. GCW just had one of the first live shows since everything's going on, and it's a bunch of guys that not everybody knows, and they tore the house down. I mean, GCW, it was outdoors, so there's no house to tear down, but they absolutely tore the house down, and I think that's what wrestling fans, and I'm not saying casual, I'm saying wrestling fans, are craving. We want new content. We want to see new faces. We want to see people that we haven't seen. The nostalgia has worn off. This isn't the time to give me nostalgia. This is the time to try something new and give me something different. That's why AEW has been working. They're giving us something different than WWE. So if you
with
something
with the nostalgia of WWE guys, though, and I think that's part of what they're starting to drizzle a little bit for, is you are right. People want the new. I mean, Impact still has me on my, you know, edge of my seat and wanting to know who's going to be, who's the returning guy. Nostalgia can work when it's supposed to work.
In increments, but right?
You can't depend on week in and week out that to be your
goal. You can't shove The Undertaker down my throat every single time WrestleMania comes around. Love The Undertaker. I was wrong. Saw the documentary. I was wrong. I'll say it again for Chuck. I was wrong.
Hey,
but
beautiful documentary though. Beautiful.
I criticize him as well after, amazing, you know, two of those matches, and I love the Undertaker.
Wrong.
I mean,
so wrong.
Yeah.
So wrong about the Undertaker. All right. What do you got, Steven?
You gonna set it up, Chuck? What do we got next?
Oh yeah. What's next? Chuck,
what is it?
This is our new segment we're trying out. We have very little to give you in content right now, but we're gonna try it. And we're going to see what happens. So I'll kick it.
Now, if he doesn't have this set up with the Blue's Clues mailbox coming in, then I'm upset.
Well, we just I don't know.
Letter. No. Sorry, all my kids gotten into Blue's Clues.
I'm sorry for you.
We're going to figure something out. Something's going on right now. I don't know what it is, but something's going on. There's something.
Wow, look at that.
We got the monkey mailbag.
You've got mail.
Tonight, we go in, we ask our followers, hey, what do you want to talk about? What do you want to hear us talk about? You got a question? You got a topic?
Monkey's Nation.
You got something? We talk to our friends at WrestleJoy. Hey, WrestleJoy.com. What do you guys want to talk about? We got a Discord. There's a member Discord that you can just go into. Go to WrestleJoy.com. It's free. Talk to other wrestling fans that enjoy wrestling. You know? And there you might see, hey, we're doing a podcast tonight. What, you got any questions? Hey, there's a Patreon. I put in the Patreon tonight. Hey, you guys got any questions? Well, we got two questions. Only two lowly questions.
And we're going to answer them.
And when it really somewhere. And when it really comes down to it, it's really only one question.
Well, let's hear it.
Because the first question is, apparently, Liverpool, which is over in England, and I'm saying it's like behind me, Liverpool won their first EPL championship in 30 years in soccer or football.
Football.
So,
a big deal.
I forget who it was. It was one of the other podcasts asked us what our feelings were on it, and I know my feelings are, who the hell cares about soccer? And if anybody on this podcast,
hockey, so I don't want to hear it.
What?
That's how I feel about hockey, but I enjoy soccer.
Bro, if I want to see somebody go 0-0 for over 90 minutes, man, I've had more riveting games of FIFA like 05 on PlayStation than I've seen like actual live soccer events. I mean, come on. That's all I want to do is watch a bunch of guys run around a huge ass field kicking a ball for 90 minutes and there's no score. What the crap is that? Shit, I'd rather watch darts. I would rather watch professional dart. I don't know if there's a thing. I know I've seen it before. It's on like ESPN 8 The Ocho or something. Bowling. There's trick shot bowling that is way more enticing to me than soccer. My dad, I love my dad. My dad loves soccer. I've sat there and watched it with him. I can't do it. I can't do it. Unless it's all penalty kicks, I can't do it. I can't watch these guys that are like 2 inches tall on this huge ass field run around kicking a damn ball. Get out of here. Okay, Steven. What do you have to say about Liverpool and their congratulations, Liverpool?
Congratulations, Liverpool.
First one in 30 years. Liverwurst, yeah. Way to go. You guys did a great job.
Your issue with soccer is kind of my issue with hockey. I don't care to watch people skate around and just throw pucks at each other. I get that way when it comes to baseball, too. I can play baseball all day long, but I get so bored watching baseball when it's a boring nothing-to-nothing game. All sports kind of have that negative, I guess, ability to them. But if you're not a fan, then you're not a fan. And that's when it comes to soccer, it's – there's the casual fans and there's the diehards and there's people who just don't give a damn. And there's very few and far between of those. So,
I'll go ahead, Tiro.
So here's where I stand. What do they win for winning the championship?
Trophy.
What's the trophy look like?
I don't know. They win money also. For the Olympics.
Is it like the one with the soccer ball at the top and it's like
– I mean, I think that's one of them.
That's World Cup.
FIFA on what they win.
I'm not a big soccer fan. I'm not. I never have been. But
you're built like a soccer
fan. But
I have a soccer player in my belly.
Soccer ball.
I actually ate a soccer player.
You got so angry. You ate.
Got so angry.
Okay, why are we talking about soccer? What's the other question?
Oh no, ask the other question. Forget it. Ask the other question. This question. Thank you for the question. Here's the other one.
The other question is.
This is going. This segment is. This might be the last time you ever watch the segment because it happened one time.
And it was
this.
Yeah.
You asked us about soccer.
Anyway, the other one was, what do we think are the best wrestler entrance themes, past or present, past and present? There wasn't a differentiation there, but we'll say what do we think, what are our favorite or best entrances in our opinion?
Like top four, top three, just number one overall.
Bro, you can do whatever you want.
This is our segment. We can do what I want. Yeah, whatever you.
You can do two. I mean, now if you start rattling off like 37 people, I'm just going to hit stop and it's just going to end with Steven going, I like Rikishi and,
the Brood. They're coming up from the fire. The Brood. I used to love when Edge and Christian came through the crowd. That was always fun.
Ooh. Is this more, is it music or is it just the entrance itself?
Best team. Best theme.
Okay, so that's
I'm thinking it's music.
Music. That's music to me. Yeah.
Eddie Guerrero. Music.
Which one?
The Alaya Chi Astil. Oh, it was great. That and the Million Dollar Man with that laugh at the beginning.
Yeah, that's a good one too.
You knew something was about to happen when you hear that laugh. You're like, okay, here it comes.
It's a tough one, man, because there's a lot of good theme.
You love the Real American.
But I go back to the eight. Okay, you know what? Let's go there. I love the Real American because, yeah, it would make the hair on my arm stand up. I do not love Hulk Hogan as a wrestler, but I would sure get out of my seat when his music hit because you felt it. You felt Real American when it played. When he came out to be Edge's partner on SmackDown for the tag team title match when they won the tag titles, holy cow, I felt like I was a five-year-old kid seeing him for the first time. It was the coolest thing ever. And yeah, the Real American is probably one of my favorite songs in wrestling.
It gets you every time. Mm-hmm.
Guaranteed. Now, that being said, Ultimate Warrior. I'm going to touch on a lot of 80s ones, and you're going to cut me off, Chuck, but I don't care. Ultimate Warrior. Roddy Piper.
Only if you get the 37.
The Macho Man, Randy Savage. Ric Flair. I still do the – they go to hockey games, and they play the Ric Flair. Dun, 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 dun. I will get up and pretend I'm wearing a robe and spin around and do all that. I mean, there again, a lot of the themes for me is 80s. I'm going to go back to the 80s and early 90s, and that's where the themes are. Now, I could talk about the Stone Colds, the Rocks and stuff. Those are really cool. But for me, it's about the 80s wrestling. It's about the music that was pure, just fun and enjoyable and got you, like, excited. Now, and I think, Steven, you were touching on this, now it's more of a performance, right? The entrance is like 100%. Like Aleister Black. The entrance is like Adam Cole. Undertaker. I hate The Undertaker's entrance.
You just hate it because it takes so long, that's all.
And that's, again, that's why I don't like it, because it takes so long. So if I have to go to one and name one, I'd probably say Hulk Hogan's Real American. That's...
Yeah, and honestly, whether you like Hogan or not, that's probably the number one of all time, because it hit you. Like you said, you get the goosebumps. You get that, like, energy feeling. You know, like I said, like him or not, Hogan is coming. And it's Hulkamania. It takes you over.
Close second place is the Hardy Boys.
Which Hardy Boys?
The Jeff's music right now. Okay. All right, Chuck.
I mean, there's hey, you know, that's pretty good. There's something about, you know,
here comes the axe. Here comes the smasher.
You know, there's something about the Ultimate Warriors song. You know, you got to love Unstable from the Ultimate Warrior. You know, Real American. I mean, that's such an iconic song. They're great. I do love Demolition. I mean, how can you not like that?
The Legion of Doom.
Oh, that was my second one. The Legion of Doom, the Road Warriors.
What a rush.
I mean, come on. You can't get better than some of those things. I mean,
no matter what company they showed up in too. That was
I mean, this, you know, stuff now. I mean, I think those two are probably my favorite of all time. Not only because I loved the tag teams and everything, but I just loved the music to it. But I think now, I think my favorite theme now is probably Aleister Black, just because it gives me that little bit of, you know, heavy metal, which I love so much. And like, I just hear his thing and, you know, it gets me pumped. I also love Robert Roode. I mean, how could you not love The Glorious? I mean, I love it. But yeah, I'm definitely more of the darker theme kind of guy and everything. So yeah, those are my three. But I mean, now I have like I kid you not, people, I love music. I think if I looked at my iTunes, I have like 17,000 like songs in my iTunes. Of that, I have like 20 some odd albums of just wrestling music.
I remember all the wrestling music you used to have in those like iTunes albums and stuff.
Oh, dude, I had like WWE put out like an anthology album that was like three discs that did like the 80s. Yeah. The Attitude, and then and whatever the third one was.
I think I have
Ruthless Aggression.
I don't know if it was the Ruthless Aggression, or I don't know, maybe it was. And then they did like a whole bunch of like WrestleMania albums with all the guys from them. I mean, I had like cassette tapes.
Oh no!
And
it just popped in my head. WrestleMania, fighting to survive. Oh man, that was like the worst.
Oh man, ever.
That clearly Christopher needs to go to sleep if that's coming to mind.
That was I got hit with a bad one.
I completely forgot about my alternate persona of Chaz O'Malley coming out to the Brock Lesnar music. I mean, yeah. I loved the Brock Lesnar music, man.
Oh man,
I'm telling you,
music's a big part of wrestling. I think that was that's the major point of this. Music is major part of a character, major part of wrestling. Sarah, thank you for the question. I know Sarah is a big Dexter Lumis entrance music fan because it's pretty damn creepy and he plays the character really well. So shout out to Sarah for the question. I'm in on the Dexter Lumis character. I think he's killing it, and I think the music definitely adds to it. And no crowd with the music makes his character even creepier. So he never blinks, man. That's impressive. No. That's really good. So those are our two questions. That was it. So do you take the monkey?
Give
mail
us more for next week, people. Come on.
Throw it out.
And maybe if we get more than five questions a week, maybe we'll pick a winner from one of those five questions.
Ooh, maybe.
And maybe they'll get a box of monkey stuff. Figure it out.
A monkey box.
A monkey
box. We'll send them
a monkey
box. We can send them a monkey box. And write that down, monkey box.
Dude, don't worry. I'm already in contract negotiations with box making companies to make a monkey box. I've already been putting it into the wheels of motion here. We're getting a monkey box going.
Awesome. Well, I think we've ranted enough. We were all around the world. We avoided the soccer question. We talked about Impact. We talked a little bit about the other wrestling factions as well. We touched on some randomness like we always do. So this is the time where we say, go check us out. Go check us out on YouTube, which you're watching right now. Go subscribe, because we're getting closer and closer to that threshold where we get that fancy URL. So we're pretty excited about that. Be that 100th subscriber, and Chuck's going to send you some stuff. We got a little package that we'll send you. We'll contact you and be like, hey, congratulations, you won something. Because you know what? We do that a lot. I just send stuff to people. So go subscribe. Go find us on Twitter. You can find us at TBM Christopher, TBM Captain Chuckles, TBM Da Boss. And I believe Jimmy is what? The Bald Monkeys?
Bald Monkeys. Just like Eli Drake, The Bald Monkeys.
So find us out there on the Twitter. Find us out there on the Instagram. I believe we're also The Bald Monkeys.
On Facebook, we are The Bald Monkeys.
It's like we know what we're doing. We put them all in the same line. And you can go finally find us in the same place. Don't forget to go check us out on WrestleJoy. WrestleJoy is a great partner of ours. We contribute to them with our interviews. We got a lot of cool interviews coming out. Go check out our Ryzen interview. Go check out our past interviews, because you know what? You missed some, and you should go look at them. They're very interesting.
There's some very good ones.
Very entertaining people that you should be paying attention to.
Yep. People who come on our show, they just go up. Just remember that. You will learn more about them. So that's all I got for Captain Chuckles and the Boss. We'll talk to you guys next time. Take it easy and go hit that button and subscribe. Get out of here.